In the summer of 1833, with the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal both decades from their first editions, New York City's leading newspaper was the Morning Courier and New York Inquirer, a four-page daily with circulation of just 2,600 in a city of almost 300,000. At 6 cents, it was something of a luxury item, which was just as well, since like several of its rivals, including the Journal of Commerce, it was aimed at the city's business and political elite. Most New Yorkers, in fact, did not read newspapers at all. They went their way, if not entirely unaware of their presence, at least untouched by their influence, as one historian put it. There was little or nothing about these papers to attract the average reader. In this sluggish market, a young man named Benjamin Day thought he spied an opportunity. A print shop proprietor who had once worked at a newspaper, the 23-year-old Day decided he'd try publishing a paper of his own. The venture was risky, for his motives were different from those of many other newspaper men of his time. Day did not have a particular political agenda, nor was he a rich man subsidizing a vanity press for the presentation of his views. As one might gather from a painting of him scowling in a tall stovepipe hat, Day saw himself as a businessman, not a journalist. He needed a newspaper not to reform, not to arouse, but to push the printing business of Benjamin H. Day. Day's idea was to try selling a paper for a penny, the going price for many everyday items, like soap or brushes. At that price, he felt sure he could capture a much larger audience than his 6 cent rivals. But what made the prospect risky, potentially even suicidal, was that Day would then be selling his paper at a loss. What Day was contemplating was a break with the traditional strategy for making profit, selling at a price higher than the cost of production. He would instead rely on a different but historically significant business model, reselling the attention of his audience, or advertising. What Day understood, more firmly, more clearly than anyone before him, was that while his readers may have thought themselves his customers, they were in fact his product. It wasn't, of course, as if newspapers had never tried advertising as a revenue source. Since the first dailies in the early 18th century, there had been forms of advertising or paid notices. But the line between news and advertising could be blurry, and so it's hard to identify the first true advertisement. In 1871, the New York Times would assign the distinction, in English at least, to a publication announcement of the heroic poem Irenodia Gratulatoria in 1652. Indeed, the earliest newspapers treated advertising as a form of news, presumably because it was considered interesting to readers. Unlike the persuasive rhetorical advertisements to come, early ads were purely informational. Most were what we'd call classifieds: lost items, things for sale, job openings, and private notices of various kinds. Day's idea was not to offer such a notice board, but rather to sell his readers' attention en bloc to more substantial advertisers. But for such undifferentiated attention to be valuable to anyone, he would have to amass a giant readership. That would mean making the New York Sun alluring to the broadest segment of society, by any means necessary. The New York Sun first appeared on September 3, 1833, all text and in smaller format than the broadsheets, to save on costs. Day did it all. He was proprietor, publisher, editor, chief pressman, and mailing clerk. For the paper's first issue, he took the unusual step of filling it with advertisements from businesses he had never solicited. You might say that he ran advertisements, in effect, to try and find advertisers. Such could also be understood from his statement on the front page. "The object of this paper," he wrote, "is to lay before the public at a price within the means of everyone, all the news of the day, and at the same time, afford an advantageous medium for advertising. His plan for delivering on the promise of such a broad readership was to feature stories from which no one could look away. Melancholy Suicide. A Mr. Fred A. Hall put an end to his life on Sunday last by taking laudanum, read the first headline in the very first issue. Young Mr. Hall, the story revealed, was about to be shipped off to Indonesia by his father to end a romance. Unable to bear the separation, he took his life. He was about 24 years of age, of engaging manners and amiable disposition, and one whose loss, even under less affecting circumstances, would have been deeply lamented.